Basic Bible Doctrine, Chapter 20, The Creation of Man. Scripture, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Solomon understood that all the problems of men in this world are owing to the sin and fall of our father Adam. Original sin is the origin of all evil, sorrow and death in this world. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verses 20 and 29. God created our father Adam morally upright and righteous in the image of Christ. But Adam sinned and, sinning, plunged all the human race into sin and spiritual death, under the curse of God's holy law. In this chapter, we will see the original state in which our father Adam, as the head of all the human race, was created, the circumstances in which he lived, and the terrible sin and crime by which our race was plunged into spiritual death and made subject to eternal death and the wrath of God. The creation of man. Genesis 1, verses 26 to 28 speaks of a consultation made between the three persons of the Holy Trinity, in which God the Father said to God the Son and God the Spirit, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Then, on the sixth day of creation, as the crowning work of his hands, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Throughout the ages, there have been some who have taught that there was another race of men created by God prior to Adam. This pre-Adamite doctrine has been maintained for many reasons. Today, in some circles, it is even taught as a justification for some form of racism. If you are exposed to such doctrine, do not allow the arguments given in defence of this error to have any effect upon you. The scriptures speak plainly about Adam, and describe him as the first man, Adam. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. That one statement is sufficient to lay to rest all arguments given to support the pre-Adamite error. I cannot add anything to all that has been said and written about the creation of man. I simply want to remind you of those things obviously revealed in the Word of God. I hope you will be led in the consideration of these things to worship, trust, and adore your Creator. As we consider the things taught in Holy Scripture about the origin of man, we should stand in awe of God, declaring with David, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Psalm 139, verse 14. In his original state, man was created body, soul, and spirit in the image of God. Footnote. The fact that man was created in the image of God places special sanctity upon all human life. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Genesis 9 verse 6. End of footnote. Without question, that means many, many things. It certainly includes the fact that man was created with intellect, emotion, and will. It certainly includes the fact that man was given dominion over all creatures in the earth and over the earth itself. Without question, it also includes the fact that man, as he was created by God, was given a living, undying, immortal soul. Man's physical uprightness reflects the image of Christ, our God, mediator and creator. Others debate the issue, but I have no doubt at all that it certainly includes, though is not limited to, the erect posture of man's body. Man's erect body is one of many things which distinguish him from four-footed animals. I am fully aware that God is not a physical being. God is spirit. He does not have physical parts or a physical body. However, our Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is said to be the image of the invisible God, does possess a physical body. When God said, "Let us make man in our image," he certainly had in mind the physical as well as moral image of the incarnate God, who would come into the world in the fullness of time. In other words, the first Adam was made in the image of the last Adam. John Gill observed that by the erectness of his body, man is fitted and directed to look upward to the heavens, to contemplate them, and the glory of God displayed in them, and even to look up to God above them, to worship and adore him, to praise him for mercies received, and to pray to him for what are wanted. Gill went on to say that the uprightness of our bodies instructs men to set their affections not on things on earth, but on things in heaven. Indeed, it is natural for every man, whether in any great distress or when favoured with unexpected blessings, and when he receives tidings that surprise him, whether of good or bad things, to turn his face upwards. In the Greek language, man has his name Anthropos, from turning and looking upwards. Man was created in the image of God morally. I mean by that our father Adam, in his original creation, was righteous. He was created with an uprightness and rectitude of character, holy and righteous. God made man upright. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. Adam was free from all error, weaknesses, and mistakes of character, as well as free from all sin. He was perfect. His will was biased towards God. His affections flowed out to his Creator. His thoughts were pure. His deeds were holy. There was no sin in him, no propensity towards sin, and no inclination to sin. This righteousness of his, Gill said, was natural and not personal and acquired. It was not obtained by the exercise of his free will. It was lost, not got, that way. Adam was created in the image of God typically, too. The first Adam was created by God to be a type, picture, and representative of our last Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ. The first man was a picture of the second man, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 45 to 47. As we were lost by the work, sinful work, and disobedience of the first Adam, so we are saved by the righteous work and obedience of the second Adam, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 22, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, and verses 18 to 21. The coronation of man. Read Psalm 8, verses 1 to 9, and see how God has crowned man with a dignity surpassing all other creatures. Man was originally created in the image of God, and, as a man, was the crowning work of God in creation. God crowned him above all his creatures. This is a subject worthy of much more attention than I can give it at this time, but here are a few things which will display the high honour God placed upon man, exalting him above all his creatures. The Lord God planted the Garden of Eden for man, Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. No one has any idea where Eden was, but it was a perfect spot for the perfect man whom God had made. God gave Adam everything he needed in the Garden of Eden to support and maintain his life. Genesis chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. The tree of life was a type and picture of Christ, the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 8. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. And Revelation 22, verse 2. That tree was filled with fruit to sustain Adam in life. It was God's gift to him, and represented the fact that his life was from God, maintained by God, and depended upon God. Thus, even in his daily meals, Adam lived by faith in God and worshipped him. There was also a river in the garden with four heads, by which both the garden and all the earth were watered. This river symbolized life, vitality, and refreshment. It was typical and representative of Christ, the gospel of God's free grace in him, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the everlasting love of God, all of which are represented to us in the Scriptures under the symbol of water. Psalm 46, verse 4, John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. The gospel of Christ and the doctrines of it, like this river, go forth out of Zion to water the earth, making it fruitful everywhere. The Spirit of God, like a mighty river, flows with living waters of grace to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ himself is a river, a fountain opened for cleansing from sin. The everlasting love of God towards his elect is a pure river of the water of life, flowing to sinners through all the earth. It is a river with four blessed heads or branches. Number one, sovereign election. Number two, effectual redemption. Number three, irresistible grace. And number four, eternal life. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. Adam was placed in the garden to dress it and keep it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. There was no toil or fatigue involved in the work. Adam's worship of God had as much to do with tending the garden as it did with walking with the Lord in the cool of the day. Even in innocence, man was not without work. Even the angels of God have work to do by which they serve him. They are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to God's elect. The work of Adam was given the most honourable work imaginable. He was God's gardener. God gave Adam dominion over all his creation. He made Adam king over everything, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and gave everything in the earth to him to use and enjoy as he saw fit for the glory of God, Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. Then he brought every living creature to Adam to be named by him, Genesis 2, verse 19. What a brilliant man Adam must have been. Even Plato was overwhelmed by the brilliance of that mind that gave names to all things, saying that it must have been more than human. Then the Lord God made an help meet for Adam, Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 to 25. Adam was formed first, then Eve. They were not equal partners in a self-gratifying relationship. They were a man and woman, husband and wife, living together in love for God and one another. Their relationship is a beautiful picture of Christ and his church. As Adam was put into a deep sleep for Eve's creation, so Christ was slain for the life of his church. As Eve was taken from Adam's side, so the church is born from the wounded side of the second Adam. As Eve was created for Adam, not Adam for Eve, so the church exists for Christ. As Eve was obedient to Adam in all things, so the church is to be obedient to Christ in all things. As Adam was in all things responsible for Eve, so in all things Christ is responsible for his church. As Adam willingly became sin and died under the wrath of God because of his love for Eve, so Christ willingly became sin and died under the wrath of God because of his love for us. As Adam by his disobedience brought Eve into death and condemnation, so Christ, by his obedience, brought his church into life and blessedness. The covenant with man. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, reveals a covenant God made with Adam. We know that this commandment given to Adam by God was a covenant, because God says so in Hosea chapter 6, verse 7, where he speaks of Adam's sin as the transgression of his covenant. This covenant made with Adam was a covenant of works. It was a covenant sanctioned by the promise of life and the threat of death. The only thing God required of Adam was perfect, personal, perpetual obedience. The covenant was soon broken by Adam. In this covenant, Adam was God's appointed substitute, federal head, and representative of all men. It is in this sense that Adam was a type and figure of him that was to come. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. The breaking of this covenant did not take God by surprise. He said to Adam, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, not if you eat thereof, but when, thou shalt surely die." The sin and fall of Adam was typical of and made way for the coming of the second man, the Lord from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the new covenant of grace in him, Psalm 76, verse 10. The breaking of this covenant, Adam's disobedience to God, led to the sin, corruption, and death of the whole human race. The corruption of man. Adam's transgression of God's covenant was the ruin of our race. The scriptures teach emphatically and constantly that which is commonly referred to as the doctrine of original sin. That is to say, all men and women became sinners when Adam sinned, and are born as sinners in a state of utter and total depravity. Psalm 51 verse 5, Romans chapter 5 verse 12, going astray from God from the womb, speaking lies. Psalm 58 verse 3, with hearts which are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The conversion of man. The fall of the first Adam made room for the obedience of the last Adam. Adam's sin made necessary Christ's righteousness. Our ruin by Adam made room for our redemption, resurrection, and restoration by Christ. After Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord God came seeking the fallen pair. Genesis chapter 3 verse 9. God himself preached the gospel to the guilty couple. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. Before he drove them from the garden, God made a sacrifice for Adam and Eve and clothed them with the skins of an innocent victim. Genesis chapter 3 verse 21. This is exactly what God did for us in the sacrifice of his dear son upon the cursed tree. Isaiah 53 verses 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18.